my gosh, I love this song.
A team like the Sith Disturbers.
Always use a turn signal. Park between the lines. Yes! Drop off dry cleaning before noon. Read the headlines. Don't forget to smile. Always root for the local sports team.
Go sports team!
Always return a compliment. Hey, you look nice.
So do you.
Drink overpriced coffee.
There you go. That's $37.
Say woo!
If you haven't been to our website, visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first steps into a larger world. Now welcome to The Sith Disturbers.
All right, folks, welcome back to Sith Disturbers number 3. I've got Corey and James with me. Corey, what's going on?
How you doing, guy?
Same old, same old. James, what's happening over there?
How you doing, guy? I'm good, chief. Boss.
Guy. How you doing, guy?
Bro.
Dude.
Captain.
Oh, man. So, guys, anything new, exciting going on in your lives? I know last week we got together for some gourmet hot dogs, which were pretty spectacular until we got to the number 4, the chef surprise, which was a bit underwhelming.
Gross.
Yeah, it didn't work too well. I wouldn't say gross. But it didn't work gross. Too well,
I've demoted it all the way to gross on my list. When I tell the story now, I'm like, and then we had this gross dog that was no good at all.
Yeah, it was a habanero relish dog.
But it was weird. They didn't blend it. It was like the first bite, you were like, oh, it's just a hot dog with relish on it. And then after you swallowed it, you were like, oh, and now it's sort of spicy in my mouth. It was weird and not very good.
Yeah, it wasn't well thought out.
No, that was a mailed in effort there.
Yeah, it was just like, let's just mix these two.
But I've had really good dreams about that chili cheese dog, and especially the sriracha dog. That is what dreams are made of.
Something.
That Asian coleslaw on the sriracha dog was really good. The chili cheese was great. And I got a soft spot for that pig dog with the bacon and the barbecue sauce. And the first week I had it, he had done deep fried jalapenos, which added a lot, but it was still good this week too.
Yeah, it was still good. But for me, it was a clear number 3.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the sriracha dog takes it. And the chili cheese dog was a reasonably close second place, but clearly second place. I think if you'd put the Asian slaw from the sriracha dog onto the chili cheese dog, that's it. Like, that's the food I take to my desert island.
Ooh.
Yeah, that would be good. That pretzel, I don't know if we mentioned this earlier, but that pretzel bun, there's something about that that makes it much better than a regular hot dog for me.
Yeah.
It just feels so decadent. Like, you look at this hot dog I'm eating with a fresh baked pretzel bun. My goodness.
Moist.
You don't get that every day. You know that moist is the most hated word in the English language?
Do you ever see that episode of How I Met Your Mother where Barney Stinson's on stage for 45 minutes just saying that over and over and over again? That's all he says for 45 minutes. It's like act one of his play.
That's
pretty
amazing.
Funny.
I do know that people have an aversion to that word. I know a few people who don't like the word moist.
Do you know what?
Yeah, no, it's the least favorite word in the entire English lexicon.
Interesting. This comes from Donnie Darko, but do you guys know what the most pleasant word in the English language is? Phonetically.
The word phonetically?
No, close though. But supposedly it's cellar door. Swear to God, yeah. That's in the movie Donnie Darko. Drew Barrymore is teaching an English class, and that's what she says.
Yeah, just one more thing about that movie that makes no sense.
Excellent segue.
Decent soundtrack, though. Decent soundtrack.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to segue into something that doesn't make sense? We do Twitter polls here, and this week I got off my rear end. I ran one of my own, and I'm pretty sure that most of the people that responded, all 19 of them, thank you to everybody. No, nobody likes my Twitter polls, but I gotta say, I think the people that responded to mine are lying to themselves a little bit. So my question this week was sort of a gravy training off what we talked about here last week about Star Wars Land. And so I asked, as Star Wars, would you rather? And I said, assume that all expenses are paid for you. Would you take one day at Star Wars Land or 1 week at Bali's best all-inclusive resort? Now, I wasn't sure what to expect, but I know what my answer was. And in the end, 74% said they would take the one day at Star Wars Land, whereas 26% said 1 week at Bali's best.
Okay, to be fair, your Twitter account is this Twitter account is mostly followed by fandom. So right there, that sets absolutely. It apart from like a generic populist poll, right?
Absolutely. If I ran this on my other account, it would be completely inverted. Or Star Wars Land might be completely shut out.
But to be fair, even on this one, I was worried I might get in trouble. I didn't know that you were reasonable also, but I voted Bali right away. I thought that might get me in trouble on the show because we're a Star Wars show, but I was like, I didn't even think about it. I was like, come on, click.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. It's a kind of a loaded question because, like you just said, I know this is going to fandom, so I wanted to make people stop and think for a second, but apparently nobody did. Although, James, we're in good company because our faithful friend Carlos also chose Bali. So I feel like even though maybe, out of 19 votes, 26% chose Bali, so that's, five people?
I think maybe the three of us you just named, yeah?
Yeah, so that's the three. There's three of us there. We're in pretty good company.
Yeah, you're all blasphemers.
Maybe the three of us should hit Bali for a week.
Blasphemers.
Yeah, we'll think about that while we're on the beach, Corey.
Yeah, that's fine. But see, that's the thing, too. I kind of substituted my own kind of deal in this, too. It wasn't like, if I'm going alone.
No!
If I'm going
alone. Changed the rules?
Of course. Well, I added my own little, asterisk thing. I would be going with you guys. If I was with you guys and, maybe my kid and a few of my best buds, no doubt Star Wars, But if I'm going by myself, just to tour the park, hell no, I'm going to Bali for a week.
That's fair.
But my vision is to be with, if I was with all you guys, no doubt I would Star Wars within a heartbeat.
My fear is if you go to Star Wars Land for one day, depending on, if you went 10 years from now, maybe you stand a better chance because it's sort of had a chance to do its thing with fandom. But if you went in the first couple years after it opens, I'd be afraid of not seeing anything. That would be terrifying. You go all the way there and you see one or two things the whole day. The rest of the time is spent in line or spent in the gift shop emptying your wallet. Although I did say all expenses paid. Though I don't know if that means gift shop as well.
And plus, being of the Commonwealth, by that time we might be, as Az says, famous, and maybe they'll just shut down the park for us so we could just have a free tour.
Wow. I love the way you dream.
Yeah.
It's good.
Those are some grandiose dreams. Holy moly.
But definitely Commonwealth Meetup 2020, Star Wars Land.
It's on the agenda.
Yeah, it's a bucket list, man.
Dates are subject to change without notice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think of the 74%, three quarters, whatever it is, I would like to call some of those people out. I don't think they're going to Star Wars Land.
No,
I think if they actually presented with the opportunity, they go, oh, wait, what?
That's exactly like when someone says, I wouldn't do that for any amount of money. And then you put a $100 bill in their face and they jump in the frozen lake.
Oh, man, that's cold.
It's freezing.
My balls just turned into prunes.
My balls just turned into raisins.
Exactly. Well, the old polar bear swim.
I think it was Stu Baca, good friend and listener, who had said something about basically, don't tell his wife, because you throw that variable into the equation, and again, yeah, answers may change. He obviously voted for Star Wars, was saying, given the two options, don't tell my wife I chose Star Wars over Bali, kind of,
Yeah, no, for sure. I think if anybody's lady was given the choice between everyone that I know of in the Commonwealth, everybody's meeting up in Bali. You know what? Actually, Mark and Rob's ladies both are fans, and I know Candace is too, but correct me if I'm wrong, but Candace isn't sitting with you in line at Star Wars Land, is she, Kyle?
Probably not, although I will say she's not a fan of resorts either. but she's always been clear that she's not one to want to go just to this landlocked place for a week and just sit there on the beach and drinking free drinks. That's not her style.
And reading
like
Star
we had to
Wars
go
books.
Do. That's not her thing either. But yeah, we had to go on different expeditions, hiking on volcanoes, heading out to this crazy weird black sand beach. Like we had to get off the resort. Like she's just not one to sit there.
Yeah.
And frankly, neither am I. Like,
no, like
I can't
too.
Sit on a beach for 7 days.
For sure.
But I thought I shouldn't be too surprised that 3/4 of Star Wars fans said they'd go to Star Wars Day for 1 day over a week in Bali. Maybe they don't know where Bali is. I don't think it's something that comes directly to mind. But if you didn't know, Google it and then feel shame.
I think everybody knows where Bali is. I think I'm going to edit that out so we don't offend most of our viewers.
Nobody's taking any offense here, right?
No.
All right, so Corey, let's talk about your Twitter poll this week. It was this one was pretty interesting because this one ran neck and neck for a while.
Yeah, like, and there was lots of choices to choose from too. We had discussed the night before. I was having a bit of difficulty who was going to make the cut. So the question posed again, going along this theme of favorites and stuff, was hashtag Star Wars excluding Vader. Who is the best villain from the galaxy far, far away? Comment for Snoke, Thrawn, Tarkin, or any other. And your options were Palpatine, Maul, Kylo Ren, or Jabba. So Jabba rang in at 12%. Kylo only came in at a mere 16. Maul came in at 21. And Palpatine took it away with 51% of the vote. And we got a total of 182 votes on this one. So statistically, it's pretty sound. The numbers, James had pointed out, like I think we're at the halfway mark. And like Kylo, Maul, and Jabba were very close. Maul was always in a close, in a 4% lead of second. But Kylo and Jabba went back and forth for quite some time, which was interesting.
That was interesting.
Yeah, I think we talked about this quite a bit, but I think the wording of that question is super important. I think if you change one word, example, run this poll again in a couple of months, but say, who's the coolest Star Wars villain outside of Vader? With the same names, and I think you get totally different answers.
Yeah, even favorite.
And I think you get a lot more, choose for other, and you get a lot of Boba Fett.
Right. Dooku. You get a lot of peripheral favorites.
That was interesting.
Yeah, best, favorite, coolest. Yeah, exactly. You have to be pretty careful.
Yeah, some people came in. There was quite a few Thrawn comments. Someone mentioned Tarkin. No Snoke.
That's interesting. Really, no Snoke.
They really haven't had a chance to play yet, you know? We're all still trying to figure out what their game is, kind of, you know?
Yeah, but you figure in those kind of polls when, like, 200 people answered, I find anyways, people seem to want to, like, answer the thing that hasn't been answered yet. So I'm surprised no one said Snoke.
That is surprising to me, because I bet you it'd be really close. I bet you he's been in one movie, same as Tarkin, and has probably just as many lines. Yet Tarkin got some love, whereas Snoke got nothing.
OT, baby.
Like me personally, when I looked at the question and said, who is the best villain? I thought about it in the sense of like, who is the coolest to see on screen and whatnot. And I chose Maul for that reason, but Palpatine ran away with it. And I think Kyle had pointed out that, you know, someone who's able to dupe the entire Jedi Council and an entire galaxy and gain control is pretty badass. So he would best villain in a sense, I guess.
Someone Vader puts his tail between the legs, his tail between his legs for also, you know, like he's a pretty bad dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was never a question for me that Palpatine, like, for me, like, in my choices, it was going to go Palpatine, Maul, Ren, Jabba. And that's how it laid out. But then I figured it would, in the poll, it was going to play out Maul, Ren, Palpatine, Jabba. Because I figure fans like the in-your-face, boots-on-the-ground type guy more. So I thought that Darth Maul and Kylo Ren were going to take it. And Palpatine would kind of sit in the background, kind of like he does for much of the original trilogy. But I'm glad to see that I was wrong. I'm glad that Palpatine really took this poll.
Yeah.
Landslide.
Yeah, 51%'s a lot.
Let's hope it's the only poll that a dictatorial tyrant wins this week.
Oh boy. Jeez. By the time Sith the Service comes out, we'll be the missiles will be in the air if the small handed dude wins.
Yeah, but that's what I was gonna say. It might come out post apocalyptic.
Yeah, well, maybe this pod never sees the light of day. This could be it, guys. This could be the last thing we ever record.
Seriously.
Man, this is sad.
I don't, what are you guys going to do Tuesday night? Like, are you guys actually going to watch, or are you just going to go, like, drive around for 2 hours and not...
Are you worried, Corey? Are you worried?
Dude, let me put it this way. I think if he wins, I'm literally going out the next day and buying a year's worth of water and food.
Why wait? You need that anyways. You're supposed to have that in your house. Well, not a year's worth, mind you. But you're supposed to have a backup supply. I'm surprised you don't. You strike me as like the kind of person who would have that in your house. A bit concerned for that kind of thing.
I've brought it up quite a few times and met quite a bit of resistance. But at this point...
Look, it's people end up thinking that you're one of those crazy guys who wants to live in a bunker.
No, I have kids. That's what I think about.
No, but like you're supposed to have at least a few days, if not a couple of weeks of like backup, whatever stuff. Yeah. Like if the ice storm or.
I got to be prepared, man. I'm not at the moment, to be honest. But again, like it's not like I haven't. I almost seem like you guys said, like a bit of a worry wart in a way.
There's a lightsaber sound effect.
Zoom. I'll put in a real one. Don't worry. Mine sounded more like a speeder bike. Now it sounds like we're on Talk Star Wars.
Oh, that's never a bad thing.
I say that with love, boys. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so here we have this poll where Jabba kind of pulls up the rear, which I guess is that's not a surprise to me. Jabba's kind of the most useless stump of the group, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's,
and that's literally, he's a stump of a character. But man, you know what? He's got one of the best names. He does, but he's cool because if you like in the sort of gangster organized crime type, since he's sort of based off a crime boss, he's got that sort of cachet going for him. But I definitely think if the question was like most fitting name or coolest villain name, Jabba the Hutt is a really, really solid bad guy name.
It really is.
Yeah, I think that wins poll. It comes close.
It's immediately
to the top.
Memorable.
Yeah.
And I can't think of another one. Oh yeah, no, Darth Vader's a cooler name. Well, that I think that gets muddy a bit. I don't think you're just thinking of the name.
Do you guys ever look at do you guys know what Vader means?
It's part of the word invader, isn't it? Isn't it supposed remind you of that word?
It's untimely death due to wrongful persecution.
What? In what language?
I don't know. Google it. I've known that for like, I'd say 20 years now. That's the definition of Vader. Untimely death.
You've known that?
Persecution.
You know,
yeah, I looked
you've
it
known...
up. I wrote a short story back in the day, like when I was like 16, about Star Wars.
Dude, it's got no meaning.
Well, there was always that belief that it meant Darth Vader was supposed to make you think of Dark Father.
Well, it says that here. It says, George, according to Lucas, it's a variation of dark and father, pronounced differently than the German Vater. But, dude, in no language am I coming up with any Vader that means anything like what you're talking about, Corey. Sorry to burst your bubble.
Let's see here. I'm looking now, too.
I'll put in the sound effects of, like, keys tapping. And we'll put in... Oh, perfect. Time for the Jeopardy sound.
Yeah.
All right, Corey, what do you got?
I'm still looking.
Give it up, man.
All right, while he does that, aren't we talking autobiographies?
Well, we're going to get to that in a second.
Sorry, I'm anxious. I'm looking at my notes here, and I've got one written down for Corey that's really appropriate.
Well, okay, let's go there then. So... in our last episode of Tumbling Saber, we had the Honorable Ads, who asked us a couple questions. We punted one over to Sith Disturbers, And it was, Ads asked us, if we had to name our own autobiography, what would the title be? And then he asked us to assign a title to each other's autobiography. So James, why don't you kick this one off while Corey Googles endlessly for something that probably doesn't exist?
I know I read this somewhere.
I believe you did read it somewhere. We're going to go, I've got a course that I teach in the high school called Just Because You Found It on the Internet Doesn't Mean It's True. I'll send you the footnotes on that, Corey. Okay, my autobiography is going to be called, and it's funny, like I started to think about this and it was almost, I almost felt like I was writing my eulogy in a way. I was like trying to think of like, you know, how I wanted to, you know, summarize myself. Anyway, it was a bit weird and creepy and ominous, but I came to the conclusion that I'm very impulsive. And so I titled my book, I Swing at the First Pitch.
Nice.
True.
Do you do that?
I literally, and Corey loves to use that word, literally, but I literally do swing at the first pitch. Yeah. There's a guy on our team who sort of doesn't like it, but I don't really care, and I can't help it. If it's a good pitch, I like swinging at the first pitch.
Yeah, I mean, if you can put a good cut on the ball, often the first pitch is the nicest one you're going to see because the pitcher wants to get ahead.
Yeah, especially in our league. But that's pitcher, that hasn't changed. Like, it's not just a beer league thing. I did that. I've always liked the first pitch. So, yeah, in life, I sort of jump in things feet first. I was going to, like, I had a bunch of other sort of titles about, like, not hesitating and stuff. But that's a good summary, I think. Okay.
Now, that was a nice one.
That's not as much fun as talking about the ones I came up for you guys, though. I'll do Kyle first, because I don't know, it's so nice and concise, just like sort of Kyle's personality. Anybody who hasn't listened to the show more than once will quickly learn that the two brothers, the Corey and Kyle, the two brothers are very, very, very different in terms of their personalities. So I had a hard time sort of coming up with like what topic I wanted to summarize for you. And I figured you would title your own Sega Boy Nintendo World, the sort of quote you have on your Twitter account.
Yep, I can just sit back and not talk because that is exactly what I called it.
So I took a small play off that, and I would call yours Segas and Sagas.
Nice.
You like?
Yeah, because I've had plural Segas.
Well, yeah, there's lots of versions of Segas. There only is one Saga, but I tried Sega and Saga, and it needs the S's. It's you can talk to the editor.
Yeah, that's a nice, like, that's a good way to like bind them together. I like that a lot.
Corey, yeah, that's not bad for him, eh?
No, it's very good. I was thinking of that as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's strong. All right, and so for Corey, I wanted to, like, I kept them both sort of Star Wars related in a way. Like, I had sagas in yours, and I kept Corey's a bit Star Wars related as well. I had, like, a bunch of, like you know, Corey's very free-spirited, a bit of a dreamer. So I had a bunch of, like, things, but in order to keep it in the Star Wars realm, I went with On an X-Wing and a Prayer.
That's awesome.
What do you think?
Nice.
What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, that's...
I like
yeah,
it.
That
sounds,
is...
it sounds glorious. Like days of glory.
Glorious. All right. Yeah. So there you go, Ads. That's my, those are my titles for, that's my impression of myself and the boys.
Well, Corey, are you still Googling?
No, I'm done.
Did you find what you're looking for?
No.
No, of course not. Piss okay, off. So you're up.
All right. All right, so... first one I thought for me was Everything is Awesome.
I love that title for you. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I came up with it. Could be the alternate title is Be Excellent to Each Other.
Also good, but Everything is Awesome is stronger. Plus, you've just earwormed like all 62 listeners.
It's so good. That song's so catchy.
It is.
When you're part of a team.
And that is how you view life, Corey, I have to say. Everything is Awesome is certainly, you're a bright side kind of guy.
You gots to be, man.
He says the guy who wants to have a bunker of a year worth of food in his place.
Hey, this is not by choice.
Plan for the worst, hope for the best, Kyle.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so who's next? James or Kyle?
Just read it in the order you've got it.
All right, let's go, Kyle. The first title, you know, it was a toss-up again. I said, you know, I almost did the Sega thing, but yours would be called Delusions of Grandeur.
Which is also fitting because when I was on Unmistakably Star Wars on tap, they said, what would the title of your movie be? And I said, Delusions of Grandeur.
It's true, I did.
Which I said,
You worm-tongued me.
So you probably got earwormed.
Yeah for sure. I was going to say, totally you stuck that in his brain. I heard that interview too.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, so where did I
probably
hear
should
that?
Be
where
what I called mine.
Yeah.
I got one more for you, Kyle, that was inspired last minute. It was Habs, Homers, and Heroes, A Guide to Breaking Down the Game of Life.
Oh, nice. Alliteration. Solid.
Yeah,
I don't know. That, very cool. That one just popped in there. All right, James, here we go. First one I came up with you, the first one that I came up with was There and Back Again, A Tale of Water, Wood, and Hill. No?
I like it. I want to live there.
Dude, it's all Bombadil.
It's total Bombadil. it's Shire-esque, too. That's what I would do. I want to live in the Shire. If I could move into a book, that's where I'd move.
Okay, so the alternate title for your second alternate title would be The Time That Is Given to Us.
Nice. You went deep on my favorite quotes.
Yeah.
Deep cuts, man.
10 more seconds, baby.
All right. Yeah, just, well.
There you go.
Absolutely. So, as you know, like James spoiled unintentionally. what I entitled my autobiography, Sega Boy in a Nintendo World. I guess I come by it honestly as it was a part of my Twitter profile for quite some time. It still might be there. I just feel like it's really fitting. I think back to the 80s where everybody and their dog had an NES. And I was like, no, we're going to get a Sega system. And so we did. And it's kind of been that way ever since, where people zig and then I zag. Sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't. And then the title I came up with for Corey, as you might imagine, is 10 More Seconds.
Nice. I only didn't do it because I knew you would.
It's just so fitting. It's just so fitting. There was going to be another one. I couldn't bring it together. Something about an allergy to smart choices or something. But that's also kind of mean. And James, your title? I came up with Lord of the Rhymes, The Road Goes Ever On.
Oh, that's pretty clever, my friend.
I had to work in... I had to really massage the Tolkien aspect. And the rapping part.
Nice work, boys.
Yeah, that was fun.
I'm surprised no one did the Swedish penis pump thing.
That's not mine. I'm telling you, baby, that's not mine.
Yeah, no, the Swedish penis pump can sit on the shelf, I think.
I did have that as an alternate title for yours, though, too, Kyle, was Delusions and Grandeur. It's my bag, baby.
Well, as long as Austin Powers' favorite little device is left out of the equation, that's fine by me. So good. You know, that movie's going to be 20 years old next year.
Wow. Don't do that. Why are you doing that to me? I was happy until just now.
Yeah, it's rough.
Isn't that crazy, though?
That's gross. I feel a bit sick. Ah.
Yeah, in a few short months, Austin Powers will be 20 years old.
See, just now in my head, I'm like, that's impossible. It didn't come out when I was in high school. But that's because I graduated more than 20 years ago.
There you go.
Ugh. Thanks for that sobering moment, Kyle. Let's talk about
something. You're very welcome.
Let's talk about something else fun.
All right. Well, let's
diseases.
Talk about the CDC's policies on infectious viruses.
Aging.
No, well, I've got another fun topic here that we can talk about. It was something we got into in our ever-going Facebook discussion, which is probably now 8,000 pages long. And it's sort of the battle of nostalgia versus reality.
Oh, I know what side I'm taking in this debate, even though it's... Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm excited for this because we had fun with this on Facebook.
Yeah, so I don't know how it started, but basically what we were battling about was Yub Nub versus the new special edition music. Well, I shouldn't call it new anymore. But the end of Return of the Jedi. We all remember the original ending with Yub Nub. And then George Lucas tampered with everything, fixed everything up to his original vision. Yada, yada, yada. Now we have the new music at the end, which is more of a... more orchestral, more of a sweeping thing as you check out what's going on across the galaxy. And Corey, your contention was that, or is, that Yub Nub to this day is the better music and the original ending to Jedi is still the better ending. Is that accurate?
More or less, yes. Like
You want to expand on that?
Yeah, like I do. I do like the grandiose factor that you guys, you know, we had talked about it. Like I do like to see kind of the other planets celebrating somewhat. I think that could have been filmed differently, but the intimacy of the original Jedi and that music is forever in my heart. Like seeing the new one, it just didn't have that same feel to me. Like I brought it up, this conversation up to you guys because. Like, the end of Sista Cerberus is the new Yub Nub, right? And I had mentioned that it seems like that scene in Seinfeld where Kramer's basically with Elaine's roommate and Elaine walks in and there's, like, jungle music and stuff playing, you know? Like, I don't know. I almost can't even take it seriously because of that. Like,
okay, I'm going to have to interrupt you right there. You can't take seriously the new theme that sounds authentically tribal because you like the Smurf song? That doesn't make any sense.
it's an overlying here, theme.
Yeah, no. Look, I know what you're saying. I'm gonna preface this with an analogy. So I grew up with a fake Christmas tree. Every year, my dad would get out of the box, and part of the fun was like finding the colored tips. Like the, you know, each layer of our tree had a different color, the blue, the green. So I'd put all the ends together, the different lengths of the branches, and we'd put it together, and he'd figure out all the lights and. That was like a big activity. And I loved the fake tree. And people would try to tell me like, you know, a real tree's better. And I'd be like, no, man, the fake tree's awesome. That's my childhood. That's my memories. But since having kids, I decided I wanted to try the real tree. And we did 5 years ago. And we haven't gone back. Now I do real trees. And you know what? It's better. It's better. It smells better. And just to be fair, we go to a farm called Quinn Farm, quick side note, that does this process where they don't cut the tree down to the bottom. They do like tree cloning where they cut about like 2/3 of the way up and the tree, they don't cut all the way down. The tree regrows. So you don't cut the tree down to have your real tree. So my only real opposition to it was like environmental, like why cut down a tree to have a Christmas tree? But in this case, you don't even have to do that. It smells better. It's every year they're different. We get to go out and do a sleigh ride to go pick it out. It's amazing. So I see what you're saying about the original one having sentimental value. I still have that for the fake tree, but I do. You have to recognize that the new song is superior in terms of fitting the movies that were released that song was in. And to me, like watching them now, I can't take the original one seriously, even though I love it. Like I watch it and it brings me back. The nostalgia is there. I'm like, I just laugh. I'm like, this is silly. It's so silly. It belongs in the Ewok movie much more than it belongs in the trilogy.
But with that kind of reasoning, though, you're basically saying like, you know, in A New Hope, when Jabba makes an appearance, like you're saying, oh yeah, that smells much better than the original. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not saying that.
No, we're not talking about Jabba.
we're talking about the essence of changing something, you know what I mean? Like, and accepting it for, like, being what the original vision was of Lucas's
vision. I'm saying things can be better. I'm not saying all change is better, but I'm saying not all change is worse.
The way I see the ending is that when we were kids growing up watching the original trilogy, it was a relatively small thing in scope. We didn't know. We never saw Coruscant. We never saw Naboo. We never saw any of these places or people that were associated with them. So it was just Tatooine, Hoth, Endor. Those were the three big places. You know, so to end the movies with that group parting it up on Endor with the Ewoks with that cute music at the end, it fit the bill. It was an intimate soundtrack for what was, you know, it was supposed to be a galactic sweeping epic, but it's still pretty intimate because you never got to see outside of a really, really small scope of things. But then Lucas revamped the whole thing, opened it up to countless other worlds, and of course the prequels were coming. So you had to have, you know, episode 6, for all intents and purposes, was the end. That's, we all thought that was going to be the end of the story. So the end of that story has to speak to the beginning of that story, which includes all these other places. And you can't have Yub Nubs, you can't have Ewoks playing drums on stormtroopers' heads and pretend that it's fitting.
They still do that. It doesn't work. They still do that in the special edition. It's just a different beat, which totally threw me off again, threw me through a loop.
Yeah, well, of course, but the music that you hear coming through is the new John Williams piece.
Okay.
And it fits. You can't swap it. Like, you couldn't put the new stuff in to the original trilogy the way we grew up with it. It wouldn't fit. It would feel awkward. And similarly, you can't leave Yub Nub in the special editions.
I know I'm not going to be, my opinion's not going to be a popular one. I'm sure I'm going to get some, if I haven't gotten any hate mail yet on this show, but I'm sure I'm going to get some for this. So let me clarify. I love the original song. I love Yub Nub. And when I see it, like, I love it. I absolutely love it. It's silly, but like that silliness is part of my childhood, and I can't erase that. You know what I mean?
It's happy.
But I want to say quickly here. I sidebar it. Corey just named this episode. I think this episode should be called "Threw Me Through a Loop."
11 threw me through a loop.
Yeah, he said when he heard the music, it threw him through a loop. I don't hate the new one. So I took the other side. I'm arguing it like just to show the other point of view. There's obviously no one who is right. You're allowed to love whichever one you want. When you send your hate mail, Tommy Bombadil at Twitter. I should have given Chop Rules.
I have to say, I still love Yub Nub too. Like, the guys at Blast Points use it to end their show. And their show is hilarious to begin with, but every time they fade in the music at the end, it's Yub Nub, and I smile because I still love that,
of course,
music. It still fits the original trilogy as we saw it. If you were to watch that movie, the original 80s version, it fits. It's perfect. But for what it is now, the official quote-unquote canon version, it doesn't fit anymore. It's been outgrown. That's all.
No, you're right. And what it is, James pointed out as well when in our discussion on Facebook, basically, that it's a nostalgia thing for me, and granted, I can admit that, and I just...
There's nothing wrong with that, either.
It just hits me in the feels more when I hear the original Yub Nub, you know? Like, and I see...
Fair enough, man.
I see Lando and Han rushing toward each other, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, old Pearl Jam means more to me than new Pearl Jam. Old Tragically Hip means more to me than new Tragically Hip. It's totally natural, I think.
Agreed.
So... That's it for Yub Nub versus special edition music.
Let us know what you think. Send in a tweet. Let us know. Corey, isn't this a good opportunity to set up next week's poll?
Yeah, we're going to do a poll this week. It's going to be called Yub versus Nub.
Your only choices are Yub Nub, so Corey wins.
Everybody wins.
That's hilarious. But yeah, that should be this week's poll.
Maybe we can get two out there this week. I'll get one. Usually I like posting them on, I find Wednesdays to Fridays, we get the most feedback.
Cool.
You're the boss.
Poll man.
You run your Twitter polls the way you see fit.
Yeah, they're going well. I'm really stoked. And thanks again for everyone who participates. Honestly, like, you make all the difference to actually give us, you know, something to chew on and actually say, like, these statistics are solid.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, let's wrap the show up here with the final topic for Sith Disturbers 3. So I got to monkeying around on the keyboard again this week. And I was talking about two characters who are kind of top of mind, not only for me, but I'm sure for a lot of Star Wars fans. And those two people are Ahsoka and Obi-Wan. And so I'm wondering, when did Obi-Wan learn about Anakin becoming Darth Vader? And the second thing, how and when can Ahsoka be reinserted to canon in an impactful way? Because Dave Filoni's all but, he hasn't confirmed it. I'd say far from it, excuse me, but I think he's hinted pretty strongly that because of how powerful and how popular this character's become, they can't do away with her just yet. They're going to bring her back, but he was totally non-committal about the why, how, when, where. That's totally up in the air. So I got to monkey around on the keyboard, like I said, and I came to see if I could kill two birds with one stone here. And do you think it's possible that somehow when Ahsoka is brought back, if she's brought back, could she be the one to encounter Obi-Wan, whether in person or through the Force, and she's the one that breaks the news to Obi-Wan that Anakin is still alive? I think that'd be a crazy powerful moment. Just to have those two back together after so long is in of itself something really cool. But for her to have to tell Obi-Wan that you messed up, all this is probably because you didn't kill him. You left that loose end. And look what's happened. Anyway, Anakin's still alive. And to find Obi-Wan's reaction to that. Corey, do you think that's something that could happen?
I think it's a bloody brilliant observation on your part.
Bloody brilliant.
Well, it would have been one bloody, but either way, yes, it's a great observation, and it's a perfect way to tie Rebels into the saga and whatnot. If we do see Obi-Wan come back, and we do see Ahsoka, it would be the perfect way to bring Ahsoka back. But in my heart of hearts, I believe that Obi-Wan, I'm sure he has his ear to the ground, and maybe even though he's a hermit, I'm sure he has some galactic contacts who maybe he might get word from every now and again of what's going on. But I think he does know, if he knows of Vader, I think he has a feeling or a thinking suspicion that it is Anakin who is Vader, just much like Ahsoka, who basically didn't want to face the truth. Like, you could tell that she kind of knew, like, Vader's Anakin in Rebels. Like, she's searching for that truth.
Well, let's not spoil too much for James, because he's still not there yet.
No, I am. I'm there.
Oh, you're there?
Yeah.
That's nice. That's a lot of catching up you've done.
Well, did I know that she knows that Vader's Anakin?
Yeah. Well, season two.
He knows that she's still alive, but she doesn't know who Vader is yet. I'm sorry, I'm not up to date, but I guess she finds that out soon.
Well, she in season two, I think in the premiere or early in season two, she kind of her and Kanan reach out to kind of feel out Vader to see who he is.
Yeah.
And then she passes out from the shock.
Yeah, yeah. But that doesn't prove that she knows who it is.
No, I think she kind of
she doesn't
hit her,
want to know.
And then she was in some sort of denial.
Yeah,
like she couldn't believe what she felt, and so she had to go through. Anyway, you'll see, James.
Yeah. I'll say something. When I read your blog post, which I did read this week, by the way, and this one was longer than a minute.
Thank you.
But it was a very good read. Maybe 2 minutes of very, very interesting stuff, because it really did make me think. This was unintentional. I like how we can fit a lot of this stuff in and retcon stuff that was accidentally perfect in the original movies, because the Obi-Wan we get in A New Hope is certainly a really different guy than the one we get from the prequels. And so a scene where he finds out that the guy he didn't kill is ruining the whole galaxy would turn him into like this sort of, you know, crazy old hermit recluse. I'd always attributed to that him just sort of hiding out on the planet for so long. We'll do that to you, like isolation. But this lends even more sort of weight to his sort of fall into this much less.
Yeah, like the Obi-Wan, cynical and jaded, right?
Yeah, the Obi-Wan in the prequels is outgoing and friendly and like a happy, I wouldn't say happy-go-lucky for a Jedi, but compared to the old crank we get in New Hope. And don't get me wrong, I love Obi-Wan. He's one of my favorite characters. Seems like I'm crapping on everyone this week. I keep apologizing. But no, he definitely changed a lot. And so this conversation with Ahsoka, if indeed maybe it does happen, would explain some of that.
And what's interesting too is because the next time we see Ahsoka, if we ever do, which I think we will, but who knows what form she's going to take or what kind of being she's going to be. Like, do we really know that she's going to be the same person kind of deal? And also, like,
oh, exactly.
And like what James was saying too.
That's why I said, like, who knows how she contacts Obi-Wan? It might be in person. She might be the same, or she might be in some other form completely, but still able to reach him.
I like what James had said, basically, who knows, maybe Obi-Wan has lost the faith. And we had talked about this in a prior pod that, you know, Obi-Wan's kind of like possibly maybe even a drunk now, you know, like, and maybe she's the one that, you know, gives him that urge, like that nudge being like, the time is nigh, like, get ready, like, you know, it's coming. Things are happening.
Yeah, I mean, the speculation that I ran out there, it's, I don't know how solid it is. I mean, I think it could happen, but we can't forget that Obi-Wan already knows the name Darth Vader. That wouldn't shock him. He heard that in Revenge of the Sith. So if he heard that the Emperor still has this black armored Darth Vader doing his dirty work for him, that's Obi-Wan's oh damn moment.
Yeah, I think
he would know.
He would know. He's smart,
and,
dude.
Which is a very plausible thing. And also, the other person who could break the news to Obi-Wan is Qui-Gon. Because in the Ahsoka novel, there is a sort of offshoot story where, interlude, I guess is the proper word, where Obi-Wan is practicing connecting to the beyond. And that story ends when the first time he hears Qui-Gon's voice. So if depending on where Qui-Gon's at, how observant he is from where he is in the Force, he could also be the one to tell Obi-Wan. So there's two things there that could tear the theory to shreds. But I thought that
technically too, it's Qui-Gon's fault. Like, I'm sorry, Obi-Wan. I told you to train this boy no matter what.
Yeah, there's some shared blame. The Jedi themselves share blame. For sure. But anyway, I thought it was definitely something worth talking about. And I'm glad that you guys took the time to read. And anybody else out there who... It's always nice to read, to write something and have somebody read it.
And if agreed. I can promote it...
If I have to beg.
Like, dude, you don't even have to beg. Like, James put it perfectly before, and the last blog you written as well, they were both really, really, really well done in the sense that they're short, sweet, and inspired. They'll get you thinking, and they take 1 to 2. Last week's was a minute. This week's 2 minutes. Good read, short, sweet, concise, like, get you thinking. Well done.
The check is in the mail.
Thanks, bro.
10%.
Yeah, be excellent to each other.
Well, now I got to get everybody else to go read it. So that's tumblingsaber.com. And the latest, it's the story entitled Ahsoka Bomb. So just look that up. Give it a quick glance, 2 minutes tops, and let us know what you think. Should Ahsoka be the one to break the bad news to Obi-Wan, or does Obi-Wan already know? Love to hear your thoughts on that. And with that, boys, I think it's time to let the good people go for the weekend.
Yippee skippy.
That's it. We're out.
We are out. Thank you all so much for listening to Sith Disturbers. I'm Kyle, and you can find me at Tumbling Saber on Twitter. Corey, where can the people find you?
That's Chop Rules with a Z.
And James, where are you at on the Twitter machine?
You can send all of your love to Tommy Bombadil 1. And once again, that's Chop Rules with a Z for hate mail.
Duly noted. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Ads, for pulling double duty this week and providing some some fun content for Disturbers. And that's it, guys. Have yourselves a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you early next week in episode 49 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. See you later, guys. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Sith Disturbers podcast, brought to you by the Warped Minds at the Tumbling Saber, proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Network. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.